I am very honored. I get to do a lot of interviews with a lot of great people across the industry, but I'm very honored today. Ken Huddleston, I guess, you know, one of the things about the business that we're in is we get to see new and creative and different things all the time, but the swim bait craze has taken off in a big way, and you're kind of one of the guys that really made that happen.
Well, yeah, I was in the earlier stages of the swim bait phenomenon, we'll call it now, but I would have to say that after learning more about it, there were guys from around the turn of the century that actually started playing around with the swim bait design. But yeah, I'm very proud of the fact that I'm one of a handful of guys that really got this thing going on the West Coast.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, I guess one of the first things that people need to know is, you know, you really are building a work of art. You're not doing anything. You're not just a bait builder, but you're really trying to build something that mimics or looks like something a big bass would eat. And you've been, you know, really cognizant of that in your endeavors. And there's no question when you look at a Huddleston bait, that's what you're really shooting at.
Yeah, well, that was out of necessity, Terry. When we first got into it, me and another guy by the name of Chomp Josephite, there was the AC plug was out, a couple of others similar to that. And to be quite frank with you, we were not very good fishermen, so we needed an edge. So we started immediately honing in on detail, and that's what made the difference for us.
Well, out west, you guys have the big trout bite, and you know everybody knows that that's how the big Florida strains got as big as they got is based on the small trout and some of the trout that the fish eat. But when I say small, some of those trout that they're eating are pretty good size, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I would say that on average, about a 10-inch trout is what fish are eating. They will eat larger than that. A good example is Lake Casitas has two different types of trout that are planted on a regular basis. Earlier in the year, the Department of Fish and Game put in trout that are about 8 inches long, up to 10. But then later in the year, the Mount Lassen strain comes in, and I would say those are the smallest would be 10 going on up to about 16 inches, and they'll eat a 16-inch trout. Right now,
you know, you look at the size of some of these baits and some of that, and now you know about the phenomenon we're talking about with swim baits. And I think initially, when you're a regular angler from most of the country other than California, you're a little bit scared by it. I mean, you think, wow, that thing is so big, I don't think they'll bite it. But in reality, what you're finding out is this swim bait phenomenon is crossing the country.
Oh yeah, I've talked about this before. When we first started using these baits, I mean, we had what I call the little demon on our shoulder. It would constantly tell you it's too big, the fish in this lake won't eat it. Then as time changed, you know, and we proved that you could get bit on a regular basis in Southern Cal at Casitas and Castaic mainly, then the little demon would say, well, it won't eat it, and it'll eat it there, but it won't eat it in this lake. And then pretty soon as time went by, we proved in different bodies of water that largemouth are kind of wired up the same. They as they get older and mature, they prefer a larger food source. But even if there's nothing else other than other largemouth in the 10 to 12 inch range.
Now this phenomenon is everywhere. I mean, Texas was second. Then you looked at Florida. People started throwing it there. But you know, even the New England states and across the Midwest, and everybody's throwing a swim bait. It seems now.
Yeah, it is. And you know, back in the Castaic days when I was with Castaic, we went around the country and we caught fish wherever we went. I mean, I've caught largemouth in Florida on a trout pattern, you know, 9-inch bait. I think it has to do with the silhouette and the movement that it has. Largemouth, like I say, prefer to eat baits on the larger size. There's been some studies that show that once the largemouth mature, they can safely eat a third of their body weight. So you can do the math on that.
You start thinking a 12-pounder, he's going to eat a pretty good-sized fish if he wants one, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I've witnessed some amazing things at Casitas and Castaic. And 3-pound trout, you know, they get eaten. I know it sounds crazy, but they do.
Well, you guys have taken another step, I think, in the evolution of the swim bait and have a big tournament you're going to have on. And, you know, if you would, kind of give me the details of what you're trying to do and tell me about this tournament, because I think it's going to be big, big news.
As time went by, there were a handful of fishermen that honed their skills on targeting trophy largemouth. And, of course, there have always been those guys. But in the swim bait world, a lot of folks think that swim baits are a no-brainer. You throw it out, you wind it in, you either get lucky or you don't. That couldn't be any further from the truth. It's very, very finessey if you're going to use these on a day-in and day-out basis. There's many, many techniques that you can use. Well, as we develop these techniques, one of the things, just the competitive nature of the human spirit, we were hoping that we could develop a tournament trail to utilize tools that we had developed, not only the lures themselves, but these techniques. And we kind of waited around and hoped that one of the major tours would come up with a one fish tournament targeted for, you know, the trophy fishermen. Well, we waited around and it never came, so we decided to put the darn thing on ourselves. And we're going to start a tournament series by the name of the Heavyweight Bass Classic. And the first one is in January 25th, 2008 at Lake Casitas. And there's a field of 50. There are 50 of the most skilled fishermen in the way of swim baits and other big techniques as well that target trophy largemouth. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if a guy threw a little tiny 4-inch drop shot at some point during this tournament. And I think that's something that will surprise a lot of folks because we plan on getting this all on film. There's going to be a volunteer tournament official in each boat. The idea is to get every cast on film. So as you watch these guys target these trophies, hopefully we'll get everything on film. And it'll be a very good piece of instructional video as well once we're done with this.
You know, our sport is kind of been in a rut when it comes to tournaments anyway. You know, you think about it, we always do it the same way. And this one, you know, intrigues me for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want to see how these guys fish this big bait. You know, a fisherman myself, I want to see how they're fishing these baits, what they're targeting, how they work the bait, all those kind of things. But you're using the best in the business. And, you know, you talked about it being 50 guys. Well, in reality, it's 50 of the best guys, right?
Oh, absolutely. And this is a skill that was crafted in Southern California. It's been about 15 years. And in the beginning, there was a handful of guys that were really good at it, and they're very secretive. They kept all this under their wing. I would say in the last two or three years, the information has started. They've started to you know, give some information out on how they do this. And in fact, there's out of the guys that are fishing, there's several that have videos that are on the market right now. The Big Bait Posse, which is video or DVD that you can. Well, you can actually purchase it on HuddlestonDeluxe.com, but if you do a Google search on Big Bait Posse, you'll see many different places that you can get that DVD. And it's an action-packed DVD of guys swinging on 10-pound fish, if you can imagine swinging a 10-pounder on board. But then there's another group out of San Diego, the Big Bait Outlaws. They have a DVD, too. When you say big fish expert, that's an understatement. I think you guys will really enjoy watching these guys at work because they are different.
Well, I'll be sitting on the edge of my seat January 24th waiting for this thing to happen on the 25th, I can tell you that. And, you know, I guess the other thing is the uniqueness of what you're talking about is spreading the country. And, you know, your baits are designed to be able to help people catch more fish and larger fish than maybe they've caught before. When we were talking about this, setting this interview up, one of the things that I thought was really interesting to me was you said bass fishermen really aren't looking at the act of the fish following the bait, where, you know, like a musky fisherman or a northern fisherman or something like that, they're going to be, you know, hey, I had three follows, and they're going to be all excited about it. They may sit and have a cup of coffee and talk to their buddies about a follow. Bass fishermen aren't typically that way, and you mentioned to me, you said, you know, wouldn't it be neat if bass fishermen got that intrigued about a follow?
Well, the first question that guys ask when they get follows is, what am I doing wrong? And the truth of the matter is you're not doing anything wrong. These fish, the window of their feeding activity will open at any given time. And it's great when there's a wide open bite all day long, but usually it's a very small window. It might only be a half hour long, if that. But they're curious by nature, so they follow most of the day. when you think about seeing the biggest fish in a body of water that you fish, to me that's exciting, just to see them as just, you know, these beautiful creatures. And I wish that as these guys learn to use these baits, that they would appreciate the follow much like the musky fishermen. I mean, I will say that that's one thing that I do admire about the musky fishermen. They realize just getting the attention of these fish enough to follow to the boat is a beautiful thing in itself.
Well, it is. It's like people who film deer or big bucks or elk or whatever it may be, you know, they may not necessarily shoot them. The art of being able to get close enough to them that you can, you know, feel their breath and see this large animal doing what he does. I mean, that's exactly what you're saying here in the fishing business.
Oh, yeah. And you learn to respect these trophy largemouth because they're not easily fooled. And you do develop a relationship with them just through the follows. And the one cool thing about follows is it tells you where they hang out, where they congregate. Because usually when you do get follows, it'll be from more than one. And in time, those followers will turn into biters. You just have to hit them at the right time, like I said. Using these baits to search these fish out is another tool in itself that you can utilize in normal tournament play as well. In fact, I've read John Murray, from being a Western bass fisherman, he even used to recommend big baits, if for nothing else, just to use as a search tool to find these better than average fish.
Well, in most of us that fish, you know, across the country, I happen to live in the Midwest, we're finding that larger baits are catching larger fish a lot of times. And, you know, the Huddleston in particular, you can use that bait. You've got a shad bait out right now that I think is phenomenal, and it fits just about any place in the country.
Oh, yes. You know, when you and I spoke before, probably one of the first well-known swim baits on the market, by today's standard of what a swim bait is, would be the Sassy Shad. That bait caught a lot of fish. You know?
It did.
And what we've done on the West Coast, I mean, of course, we did bigger versions of that bait as well as wood baits. But the smaller Huddleston threadfin shad is a bait that you can use anywhere on any body of water and do quite well with. And since it does have the accurate look, it's anatomically correct, just that alone will produce better quality fish.
I think if a guy goes out and really learns this technique, you know, things like drop rates and how you work the bait, can you stop the bait, can you jerk the bait, all those kind of things, you really got to learn it on your body of water, I would think, as an individual. But there are certain techniques that seem to work better and trigger the bass.
Oh, yeah. The reason we have different rates of fall, is what we call it, is to give, you can target, it's not just for hitting different depths, but it's for hitting different depths at different speeds. And I think that one of the things that is great about a swim bait is you can come up to cover and touch that cover and very slowly work your way through it. And once it pops loose off of a limb, it kind of hangs there, depending on your rate fall, of course. Well, you know what the effect is when you hit things with crankbaits or blades or really any bait. It stimulates bites. And think of the reality of being able to hit a piece of structure in 30 feet, creep it through that, keep in contact with it the whole entire time. I mean, I know you can do that with jigs, but this would be more along the lines of, let's say, a crankbait. But imagine trying to do that with a crankbait. Pretty much impossible, but you can do it with swim baits. They're very, very versatile baits. And just like I said, their profile will stimulate bites alone, just the way they look.
You know, you talk about the shadowing effect, you know, fish coming from below, all the things that go on with swim bait fishing, you know. Some of the guys that are really, really good at this, and you're going to get to see them January 25th, but they've got specialties, you know, and I notice a lot of these guys in a lot of the films that I've seen, you know, the way they attack a point, the way they attack maybe a ledge or a stump flat or some of those kind of things, they definitely have a different way of maybe positioning the boat and doing some things differently than people have been used to seeing.
Yeah, their approach to, let's say, a point. I mean, they'll parallel a point thrown to extremely deep water. I mean, they don't just pull up on a piece of structure as a rule, because that spooks these fish that we're talking about. They're very quiet, methodical about what they do. Of course, there are guys who run and gun. There's, you know, it's just like anything. You know, you do have, for the lack of a better word, you do have the Kevin Van Dams of the big bait world who just run and gun and wait for that window to open up. But I would say most of the time, when these guys are targeting fish over 8 pounds, you can't approach it that way. You have to do it. You have to become, you know, part of that point. And they'll throw into extreme deep water and slow roll this stuff uphill. At, I mean, it seems like forever to get their retrieve in. But, I mean, they've learned how to do this. They know when to slow it down. They know when to speed it up. They know what the signals are for that dinner bell, you know, that window to open up. It might be wind all of a sudden. You know, it might be overcast. They're looking for something to change, and they've been on the water so much using these techniques, they know when to do it. They are truly gifted at what they do.
Well, Ken, as you look at the future of swim baits, and I mean, you've been in it since the early days, you know, what are some of the things as a guy that sets and messes with this each and every day, what are some of the things you think that anglers across the country can look forward to in the years to come with swim baits and some of the things you think are going to be trends?
Well, I think you're going to see this rate of fall thing become a factor in almost all these swim baits. It allows you to target, like I said before, any depth zone at different speeds. In fact, I would say that you'll see this more and more in fishing at large, not just swim baits. But I think that you'll see these guys take the detail to the ultimate. Baits like the Cinco, which might be plain looking, but has a movement that triggers these fish. That's a Western thing, in my opinion. I hate to sound partial to the West Coast, but of course, that's where I'm from, and there is a hotbed of lure design there. There's a couple of baits out on the market right now that are very simple looking, but they have movements that catch fish. And I think one thing that swim bait guys do better than most, they don't necessarily listen to the fishermen as much as they do the fish themselves. And whenever we find something that these fish keep saying is what they want, then we really hone in on that and advance on that. So I think that you can look forward to seeing swim bait designer and lure maker honing in on what just makes these fish react, opposed to listening to what fishermen necessarily think they want, change it minutely, which is what lure design kind of has been over the years.
You know, absolutely makes perfect sense. And, you know, I could spend 2 weeks with you just talking about this thing. And I look at what the advantages are to people across the country. Steve Kennedy, of course, caught the largest bag ever in a tournament here recently in California. And now across the country, I'm seeing guys talk swim baits. We had a little contest here for the Bass Fan Army, and we actually had a California guy test a bait that we had. And our feedback was, why do you give it to a guy in California? We know they can catch them on it, but get me one in Ohio. Get me one in Tennessee. Get me one in Kentucky. And that's the kind of feedback we know that this thing is catching on in a big way. And I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan today.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. Anytime, you know, swim baits is my life. And anything I can do to help a guy get his personal best, I will do it.
Well, there's no question. I know that, and I really appreciate you being with us here. And I'm going to call you back, because when it gets closer to the 25th, I'm going to know what kind of amperage that you're getting there and the excitement that's going around this tournament. And then you have to keep me apprised on what's going on. Will you do that?
I absolutely will. Thank you for your time.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.